This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Is that what Sean Marks is singing right now to Kyrie? I do not think so. It's Barton Hahn, Harry Douglas in here with us. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. I mean, the Kyrie situation with Brooklyn is exactly what you just heard me say there. It is, I would stare that thing down to the bitter end. June 29th, if you don't sign him by then, he can walk, go to free agency. July 1st is when free agency begins. Go ahead.
Make him sweat?
Go ahead. Well, teams that have cap space this offseason, you can count on one hand. In fact, if that one hand only had three fingers, you can count on it. Now, can teams get creative and create cap space and dump salary? Of course, teams could do that.
He's going to your Knicks. You want him in New York? Well, he's already in New York.
Don't you put that on me, Harry Douglas.
You want him at MSG?
Don't do that.
You want him at MSG, hon? Do you want him at MSG?
No. I'm telling you, no.
I love being on with you and we have to talk Knicks.
Listen.
Like, I love this.
Would I have wanted him in 2019? Yes. I will tell you that the mistake was when he was going into free agency and the Knicks were on the table. The Knicks did not handle it properly because with him it was, we like you as long as Kevin Durant can come too. Like, make sure you have to guarantee that Kevin will come, and yeah, we're all in. So if it was a package deal, they would have done it, and that offended Kyrie. Kyrie's like, well, what if it's just me? Not good enough? That was wrong. Now, the way things went in Boston and what everybody heard about, you know, him in Boston and all that stuff, that scared a lot of people, thinking like, you know, this guy is going to be a pain to deal with. And obviously now in hindsight, we'd see, yes.
The proof was in the pudding.
Yes, but I still go back and say that was the mistake. The mistake was not just saying, you know what, you'd be the best talent, the most talented point guard we've had since Clyde Frazier. So we're in. And whether Kevin comes or not, if Kevin stays in Golden State, he stays in Golden State. But if he comes along, that's even better. But you, we start with you.
Could you?
But he was considered to be already at that point a little bit radioactive. Yeah. Now he's toxic. Radioactive, though, then. And that's why there was that hesitation by those who were there. What are you laughing at?
He's what now?
Well, he's toxic now. He was radioactive.
Could you imagine, though, Madison Square Garden? Remember, we went to the game in when I was up here last.
Yep. You know how that building goes.
And I was like, my goodness.
I told you.
Some things just don't change.
It's an experience. It is something that I know, and I'm telling you, they'll never admit to it. But those two guys know that it would have been a lot different if they both were wearing Knick uniforms playing at the Garden. It would be a lot different when it comes to the vibe. Have they brought a lot of attention to the Nets? Have they brought a lot of exposure to the Nets? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. The Nets are in the conversation as one of the best teams in the league every year, regardless of all the other stuff that's gone on the last couple of years with Kyrie and KD and his injury and all that stuff. Doesn't matter. They are, right now, Caesars has them second best odds to win the championship next year. So that's good for their business. But there's just something different. You could say all you want. You can tell. Kawhi Leonard playing for the Clippers is nice. Kawhi Leonard playing for the Lakers, completely different story.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Chris Paul, like Lob City in a Laker uniform would have been a movement. In a Clipper uniform, it was like, yeah, it was cool. I like them. They're fun. It's okay. But it's just different. It's certain franchises. It's Aaron Judge, and the threat of him going to the Mets is like, I mean, if I'm Brian, go ahead, go to the Mets. You're not. It's different in pinstripes.
You don't want him to go to the Mets.
Of course I don't.
You don't want him to go to
no,
the
I
Mets.
Don't, but you get what I'm saying. You see what I mean? Like, it's just there's certain franchises, it hits different.
You're right.
You play for this team versus Matthew Stafford goes to L.A. from Detroit. You see what I mean? Like, it's just different.
Hey, if you reside in Detroit, we're sorry, but it's not a damn thing there. I understand where
you're coming
from.
No, it's just the Lions. It's not even the city.
Yes, it is the city, too.
All right.
Okay.
If you wanted to go there, you can.
We're going to keep it real. It's the city, too.
It just, there's something.
We love y'all, Detroit.
There's something different about it.
That was Han.
Hey, Bart says it all the time. He's from there. So that you can't escape. Those guys playing in the Garden, the way it would be, the building, all that stuff, how they both love the street ball vibe. You know, that vibe that you can only get at Rucker, West 4th, Dykeman. Like, there's just certain places you go, and it's just like, whoa, whoa. Like, you walk in, and there's something happens where you just start shaking. You're like, damn, there's something here. That's how the Garden is. Whether the team's good or not doesn't matter. Ask Tracy McGrady. I was there. I covered it. Mm-hmm. Tracy McGrady, believe it or not, played for the Knicks. Then people forget this. He was traded to the Knicks as a salary dump at the end of a season where it was a lost season, and he was kind of done. Like, it was the end of his career. And he shows up, his first game in the building. The Knicks are, the season's over. Like, they're done. But he's in the building wearing a Knick uniform, and he had a
T-Mac.
The
T-Mac.
Building was T-Mac. Ridiculous. It was so loud that he even got caught up in it and had a vintage performance. Like, he looked amazing. And now everybody's going like, whoa, they need to sign Tracy McGrady. He's still got something left. And even after the game, he's like, nah, there's not, much of this left in me anymore. He admitted it.
I got to see the Lynn Sanity ordeal of it.
You talk about, again, miracles happening.
I got to see the Lynn Sanity part of it.
That's right. You did. And Tony, your brother, was on that team.
Yes. That was a movement.
That's why when they say only at the Garden, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's just something that you feel. And those guys, they didn't get that chance to feel that, right? But that doesn't change the mentality now. The mentality now, whether you're Brooklyn or whether you're the Knicks or whether you're the Lakers, I think could do it because you have LeBron there. He insulates, he protects. Like, I think that's the one team he could go to, and it wouldn't be as big. In fact, I think there'd be more enthusiasm. But when it comes to the Knicks right now, terrible idea. Terrible idea.
Okay, so I got to ask you this.
For the Nets, I would stare him down and say, go ahead. Mm-hmm. If you're going somewhere else, go ahead. And if he's going to give me the threat of, well, Kevin's not going to be happy and you're going to lose Kevin, I'll take care of that because I don't know Kevin Durant as a guy that has ever said, I refuse to play basketball. He's never been that kind of guy. We'll work it out. We'll figure it out. We'll get through it because he is not a, we've seen players say, I'm just not going to play. I'm not happy. I'm going to force a trade. Just don't see him being that guy.
So here's what I have for you.
Go ahead.
You know, the NBA draft is tomorrow night, right?
Yes, it is.
Do you think the Knicks stay at number 11?
I really don't. My gut feeling is if they can't trade up to 4 or 5 and they've tried, they've talked to the Kings and the Pistons. They have tried to move up. So far, hasn't worked, but there's plenty of time. If they can't make a move up, I think they trade out.
Ooh.
I don't think they stay at 11. I think they could if nothing works.
For
a player, yeah.
Okay.
I think they don't need any more young players. This is a draft that has a lot of young players that have potential to be really good role players. I don't think there's not a superstars in this draft.
Potential down the line.
They need guys that can help them win.
Right now.
Yeah, they've got enough younger players that they're still trying to develop that adding another, I don't think it makes sense for them. So they'll trade out, whether it's back or whether it's trade the pick for a veteran player that can help them now. Malcolm Brogdon is one example that has been out there.
So let's say they do trade up to 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
Who would Hine want the New York Knicks to take?
Jaden Ivey.
I just want to hear you say it.
Jaden Ivey.
I just want to hear you say it.
Yeah, no. It's I've been talking about it all week. I when you heard Corey Alexander talk about him, what we just had on earlier in the show, and he was like, I don't think he's going to be a superstar. Mm-hmm. It took a little piece of me because I think he's got so much athletic ability.
I think he has Ja Morant vibes. Not saying he's Ja Morant.
Yeah,
but
he's
you
not,
see a little bit. He's not Ja, but he has a
little bit.
Yeah,
a little look to him because he's got the wiggle. He's got that kind of movement. But Ivy to me with RJ Barrett, that if I'm in that front office and I'm looking at James Dolan, who's probably looking at his watch, tapping his foot, going, "All right, we're on year 3, boys. Why are we not better?" I turn to him and I go, I've got RJ Barrett's going to get $180 million mm-hmm. in October as an extension. And then you have Jaden Ivey. There's your point guard. There's your two. They're both guys that can get to the basket. They're both tough, physical guys. You put them together and now I turn around and say, this is my future. There, we build this team on these two now.
So there's another
buys you
guy.
Time.
There's another guy that's out there with the emergence of Darius Garland, Colin Sexton.
Mm.
Would you want the Knicks to trade for a guy like that?
Haven't heard his name in a while. Before the trade deadline, that name came up a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Injury-wise, though. Like,
it's that. It's a little erratic. Yeah. Is he a playmaker enough to get other people involved, or is he just, he's a gunner?
Yeah.
Certainly tough, certainly aggressive, certainly athletic, certainly has all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But, boy, they played better once he got hurt, didn't they? I'm kind of worried.
Can you not say it like that?
Well, is it not true? Garland then went to his natural position. All I'm saying, Harry, is it all depends on the cost.
Yeah.
That's what this draft's going to be. It's not just the Knicks. There's a lot of teams. The Indiana Pacers have a lot to decide of what they're doing. They have the sixth pick.
You talk about them.
They are trying to move on from Brogdon and Miles Turner. Yeah. They traded
for Halliburton.
They blew that thing up for a reason. Yep. So they're going to be aggressive. They're trying to do things. There's teams like the Kings, the Pistons. There's several teams. I think the Rockets have got to find a grown-up in that room. They're going to have another high pick, obviously.
Christian Wood, my goodness.
They had to move him. Well, that tells you who they're taking. I mean, they made it pretty obvious they're taking Banchero, right? Yeah. And if you're the Thunder, taking Chet Holmgren, it's another – that's a guy that's not going to be an immediate impact player in the NBA, but has great potential down the road if you develop him properly. But, no, draft night's going to be really interesting because there's not just – this is not a draft of we just drafted our future star. We just got our future star.
Yeah.
This is a draft of pieces that fit certain teams, teams that are collecting young players. They're Orlando Magic. It's all they can do right now, collect young players. Why? They can't attract free agents. They can't put a team together where they can attract people. Pistons, same thing. But teams that are in the bigger markets, more established, are trying to either fill out their roster or use the picks to get better players. The Lakers don't have pick. They could really use one because they need to fill out their roster. So there's gonna be, I think there's gonna be some wheeling and dealing. I think it's gonna be really, really interesting to see how this all goes down. But just to put a bow on it, I'd rather not sell my soul, which is what this would be, and give Kyrie Irving a full guaranteed 4-year, $190 whatever it's gonna be, $200 million contract. I'd rather not do that. I'd rather get the young, sell my soul to the fourth pick.
Yeah.
Get a guy like that who's young. And try to develop him and R.J. Barrett as my future. That's what I'd rather do. Now, will it happen?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I can't tell you. So we'll have a conversation hopefully with Baron Davis, who's expected to join us here in a couple of minutes. So hopefully we'll get him going because I'd love to get his take on this and other things NBA. But we'll get to that after Harry has this from Cheerios.
If you're on the go, like I was this morning, you might be skipping eating the healthy way, which I definitely did, which is probably making you feel a bit sluggish these days. Not sluggish, but a little headache. Well, as a reminder, you can fuel life's special moments with health Honey Nut Cheerios. Made with whole grains and low in fat, Cheerios also provide 12 essential vitamins and minerals. So pour your heart in today. It's so important. Pick up a box of Honey Nut Cheerios today at your local grocery store.
Barton Hahn, Harry Douglas with us. And I love the way he says Cheerios.
So good.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Glenn in Jersey's been holding a bit. Hey, Glenn.
Yo, Han, you there?
What's good? Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was listening to Corey Alexander and what he was talking about.
Yep.
You guys compare people in the draft to Russell Westbrook. And I'm thinking to myself, Russell Westbrook, and then I heard him say something about him being an MVP in top 75 of all time.
Yes.
I mean, what a joke that is. I mean, Dwight Howard's not on that list. Someone like Russell Westbrook is. I mean, that list should be put on toilet paper and flushed down the toilet. Damn. Are you kidding me?
Well,
I mean, are you kidding me? Russell Westbrook? Well, are we comparing players to Russell Westbrook?
Did you forget, though? Glenn, did you forget that he averaged, you got a little background noise, I'm going to let you go there. But Glenn, he guy averaged a triple-double. Twice. It's pretty good. Like, to say that he's not a great player.
We got to stop acting like Russell Westbrook couldn't ball.
Oh.
Like, that's not saying he didn't ball. He didn't ball up to his standards last year, but People act like he...
He was out of his game last year. In fact, he hasn't really been the same for about 2 years.
He hasn't balled throughout this league, though.
Oh, my God.
So Westbrook has balled throughout this league.
We're forgetting what he became after Kevin Durant's injury. When even KD saw, like, this is not my team anymore.
Yep.
Like, this is Russ's team. Because he went out, he had the foot injury. Remember that? He had the foot surgery, and then the screw got loose. They had to fix it again. So he was out, and it was Russ who just went off. He became the primary guy, and he went off. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, this, like, one-man fast break. He just got after defense. It was just so much. We always knew he wasn't a great shooter. We always knew that, but just capable enough. But it's after he left OKC, once they moved on from him there, that's when it just started falling off. I mean, they tried it with him and Harden. That didn't work. They send him off to Washington.
Oh, you're talking about...
They sent him to Houston first. They tried to... They kept trying to find pairings for Harden. That didn't work. They send him to Washington, and that really did him and Beal. That didn't really work. They had to finish the season, but he was just hasn't been the same in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But yeah, this notion that he can't play...
is insane.
I'm not buying that. Definitely not buying that at all. Donovan in Virginia. Donovan, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, got a trade scenario. Now, I'm a Lakers fan, but it's the game of basketball.
Do it.
Russell Westbrook for Kyrie and Ben Simmons, and the Nets go all in and get Bradley Beal, man.
Well, the Nets are – I mean, I also heard Brian Windhorst say that there's zero interest in Russell Westbrook in Brooklyn. I don't know if he and KD really want to be teammates again. So
y'all forget about that history.
Yeah. And then to he said, I am a Lakers fan, so let's say you get Kyrie and Ben Simmons.
I'm not. It's no way in the hell I'm the Brooklyn Nets. If I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm even taking that trade.
We're putting it together like this. Roy's in San Antonio, Roy.
Hey, fellas.
What's good?
Hey, when was your birthday? The 19th? Mine was on the 14th. Happy belated birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Yes. Mine was the 19th.
Okay. Yes, sir. So, look, man, this is a total disappointment. Kyrie cannot go anywhere else the way he's acting right now, like some little spoiled child. If KD can do something, talk to him, say, hey, man, come on. Come on, let's do this the right way. Because he didn't come over there for that. He left Golden State Warriors for that? Really? He ought to be pissed off. I would be if I made that move halfway across the country or all the way across the country for Kyrie to act like this. Come on, man. What's up with you?
That's the problem, Roy. I think a lot of people see it that way, but Brooklyn also created this. They enabled this. I mean, that's just what they did. By him saying he just opted out of playing in the bubble. It starts there. He was healthy, ready to play, and the Nets had, I think it was like 8 games, right? Whatever it was that they played in the bubble before the playoffs started, he just chose not to be there, and they were like, all right, it's your choice, you can do that. Then the following season, just decides to take a couple of weeks off, disappears. Remember that? Just disappeared. And they were okay with it. Nobody said anything, no problems. They fire a coach because you didn't really love him, even though everybody in the organization loved the coach they had, loved him. Even Kevin Durant said, watching YouTube videos on him, really like him, right? After 1 year, he's out. You get a coach that he is happy with. Then he's going through all the, I don't feel like playing stuff now, and I'm not getting the vaccine. It's not that I'm against it, I just don't feel like getting it, and you don't show up, you don't play.
I think it's time.
I mean, eventually, and they first told him,
I think it's time,
stay away, which they did that until they couldn't anymore because they had so many injuries.
I think it's time, hon.
Time for what?
There you go. Thank you. Damn, I said it 3 times.
I heard you. I just wanted to finish my thought.
Time for what? I think it's time for KD. And we don't know if he's already had these talks, but if you have a friend that you're cool with, especially if you're playing a game of basketball, any sport,
right?
You're going to, you know, talk to them about certain things. I think he has to have that heart-to-heart with Kyrie Irving. And just, bro, listen, we can be this, we can be that.
Right.
We need you. But we gotta do this together. One band, one sound.
All right, let's bring in Baron Davis on this. 2-time All-Star, 13-year NBA player, one of my favorite players to watch when he was playing in the NBA. And yes, Harry, he did have a stint with the Knicks, of course. Baron Davis joining us right now. Boom, how you doing?
What's up, my guy? What's going on?
Well, obviously, besides the NBA draft, which we'll get to with you in a moment, it is this conversation about Kyrie Irving, Brooklyn, and all that stuff. For you, as a player looking at this, and a lot of people feeling like if you don't give Kyrie the full contract, how much of an impact will it have on Kevin Durant's happiness in Brooklyn? How does that work with players? Do you guys sit down and talk to each other about it, saying, you know, whether or not I need you to play more, or is there any accountability between players, or do you stay out of each other's business when it comes to contracts?
Stay out of each other's business. You stay out of each other's business. That's about it.
What would you do if
you don't get involved, and it's no what ifs?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are no what ifs. There are no what ifs. Like, because, you know, it's like for every person, every individual, they have their own opinion. They have their own life, what they're comfortable and uncomfortable with. And, you know, like, man, you know, it's everybody has a different brand, you know? So you kind of got to respect that, you know?
What would you do if you were the Nets?
I mean, one, they should hire me, and I'll stop all their shit. Lord have mercy.
He's not giving it away for free. No, I'll let you know what I would do. You got to sign.
No, man. Well, I think one for the best, you got to know what you're building.
Yeah.
You have to know what you're building. And so when you have two guys who are as dynamic as Kyrie and KD, right, then you bring Harden, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you trade Harden for Ben Simmons, right? You're only like, it's weird. It feels like the Nets are not building to be Brooklyn Nets, but they're more so trying to figure out who's the next superstar. Like, how can we keep, you know, bringing in superstars?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you got two of the most prolific offensive weapons in the game. And, you know, you have, you know, Blake Griffin, who is still an incredible vet. Aldridge, you know, you have a good combination, but you have to build the right combination. You have to build the winning combination, right? And a winning recipe. And so I think that with Brooklyn, it's not that they're not trying. I just think that they're falling short because they keep, you know, they just keep kind of like rotating seats,
right?
It's, you know, of superstar players.
Yeah, there's no consistency. There hasn't been consistency. That's kind of where it's been. It's been a lot of moving parts, and they haven't spent a lot of time playing together. We're talking with Baron Davis, joining us on behalf of Hennessy. Another debate that we've had, and again, I love your perspective on this stuff, you as a player and also as a point guard. Steph Curry, after winning another championship with the Warriors, there's been this thing now, is he a top 10 player? I always love asking players this stuff because some of you laugh at us about these lists and some of you get involved. How do you feel about it?
Well, your list is crap.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. Your list is crap because, like, you're going to go with what's obvious and then what's a hot take. No, I'm joking. All right, let me say this about Steph Curry, okay? There is a whole generation of kids over the last 5 years and over the next 10 to 15 years that are going to play or want to be like Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. They're going to see Steph Curry and say, oh, I can do that. Oh, is that what he's doing? So legacy-wise, pioneer-wise, game-changer, he's changed the entire landscape of how basketball is perceived, how it's played, and who can play it. Now, he's been kicking butt, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the last 8 years. And so how can he not, with four championships, two MVPs, finals MVP? You know what I mean? Like, oh my gosh, like, what are we talking about here? We're talking about, you know, cementing himself, you know, next to Magic in that slot. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah,
when you start talking about the greatest point guards to ever play the game,
You didn't even mention Magic. That's a no-brainer. Yeah. Everybody want to play with Magic, right? And I think Steph Curry is right there, right? And Steph Curry is the Magic to our era, right?
Wow.
Steph Curry is the Showtime to this modern-day generation. And it's him and not until somebody comes and changes the game.
The changing the game part, I think, is the best argument to make, and that's a great parallel to make also because Magic changed the game certainly as well when he entered the league. Baron Davis joining us right now on the show. It's Barton Hahn with Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio. Now, Baron is partnered with Hennessy to support black communities, black entrepreneurs known for pushing the limits of their potential through the Never Stop, Never Settle Society. It helps black entrepreneurs with funding, resources, infrastructure to help them transform their communities. So, boom, tell me about this partnership and what you're doing with it.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because it's about, you know, helping entrepreneurs, helping black entrepreneurs, you know, be able to take it to another level, right? And building out a society and building out, you know, an entrepreneurial network of like-minded people, right? So, you know, for me, it's an opportunity to mentor. Right. It's an opportunity for me to partner, connect, and ultimately be, you know, the coach, the point guard for these next generational entrepreneurs.
It seems to fit right into your personality and obviously the way you play the game as well. Setting everybody up, making them look good like you just did for me. Always good to talk to you, Baron. Thanks so much, my man.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
All right. You too. All right, coming up, something a head coach said that you've got to hear about NBA duos.
Crazy.
Bart and Hahn, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Harry Douglas in with us, and Harry feels like what we're about to reveal to you that an NBA coach said might be in the category of fitting
crazy.
The song. Might be. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. In short, a lot of things. Bundle today at progressive.com. Roger Goodell going through it today right now in this this committee hearing that he is having to face all kinds of questions. And it's just hysterical how some of these congressmen are and senators are asking questions that have nothing to do with the actual Daniel
Amendments
Snyder
and
Washington,
all,
you know, investigation. It's like they're like Deflategate was brought up. Jack Del Rio's fine has been brought up, whether he agrees with it or not. And oh my God, man! I guess when you really just want to stand up and just say, you know what you're doing, you know what you're being, stop it. Right? Like that literally, you can't, but that's what you want to say. You want to look back at some of these moron politicians. And I'm an equal opportunity hater when it comes to politicians. I hate them all. They ain't out for us. Never are. Out for themselves.
Never have
so,
been.
So like you put yourself, you're in this moment where you're being questioned and you got this guy, and there's so many words I want to use right now, but I can't because we're on radio. But you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like you're being that guy and you just want to say it. Just want to say, stop being that guy. Like ask a question that matters right now.
When you made the face, stop being that guy, I almost said it. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Just stop being that guy.
Hold up, Harry.
Exactly. But then there's good people that I like Mike Brown. And congratulations to him. He's the new head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
I don't know if it's congratulations because this is the Sacramento Kings.
But it's very deserving.
But, I mean,
he's
getting another shot as a head coach. Yeah, and he's been with the Golden State Warriors and a great job in the first seat next to Steve Kerr. So he's getting a chance with a roster that is fairly young but has some talent on it. And so here's Mike Brown at his introductory press conference talking about the players on his roster, including De'Aaron Fox, right, and DeMontis Sabonis, who they just traded for last year. And he says something about these two, this duo, that I need you to tell me if you agree with it or not.
Obviously, you know, as a tandem in a pick and roll, they're very, very good. They're not probably a top three combination in the league right now. So that's a given. Now you couple that, like I said, with Fox's speed and Sabonis' ability to pass, and it just gives you different ways to play.
Delete that! Did Aaron Boone, what do you think of this?
You know what? I don't know.
You know what? I don't know.
Kawhi? I don't mind it either, man.
That laugh. It's hilarious.
Probably not.
This is, I'm trying to build my guys. I'm trying to let them know I believe in them. 1 million, not 100%, 1 million percent.
Top three pick and roll tandem in the league. Top three. Now, he said duos. Now, I think he was referencing pick and roll. But if he's just saying they're a top three duo in the league. I mean, let's just throw some names at me.
Well, we're going to go
Steph
with
Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Splash Brothers.
We're going to go with the champions.
Can we talk about KD and Kyrie? All the problems, all the issues, all the other, those two guys together on the court are pretty lethal, right?
Giannis, Chris Middleton.
Thank you. There's one.
Chris Paul, Devin Booker.
Okay. That's another one on my list. Who else you got?
Well, when he's healthy, LeBron and AD.
I like that.
When he's healthy, Kawhi and PG.
Thank you. That's another one on my list. So far, you're hitting everyone. How about the other team that was in the finals?
Tatum and Brown.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Would you put James Harden and Joel Embiid on that list? Ahead of De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis.
Yes, you have to.
Okay. Am I missing anyone? Because that's beyond three. We're well beyond three at this point. In fact, we're almost, I think it's eight that we've named. And I believe there's got to be some others that we haven't talked about yet.
I can't believe he said it. But I love
Mike.
Mike
Brown's a good dude, man. He doesn't deserve this, but he does deserve it.
But at the same time, it's just like Tyreek in his podcast saying that what he said about Tua.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, you just won a Super Bowl with
Jimmy
Mahomes.
How about Jimmy Butler and a Bam out of the bayou?
Is it the no-show Bam that we've seen in the finals? Or
you had to go there. You had to go there.
Is it the Bam that we've seen in the regular
season? Now, Renee says, what about RJ and Julius Randle?
Bing bong.
Renee said what?
Yeah, I know.
Don't look back this way.
What did Renee say?
Don't look at me like that. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are there other duos that you would take ahead of De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis? Let us know. 888-SAY-ESPN. Barton Hahn with Harry Douglas. I can't believe you really wrote that. ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Harry Douglasson with us. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's take Andre in Massachusetts. Andre.
How you doing? Thanks for taking the call. Listen, I'm 100% on board with Mike Brown talking his guys up in terms of De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis. I feel that they are a top five pick-and-roll combination in the league in terms of their talent. They get off to a great start when they first gathered together. De'Aaron Fox can score at all three levels. He's lightning quick. DeMontis Sabonis, coming from that lineage, that background, Arvydas Sabonis' son, he has court vision at 6'10". So in theory and on paper, they have the talent, but they just haven't had the consistent leadership. And this organization clearly has been something of a bottom feeder. So if Mike Brown can bring that San Antonio pedigree, that Golden State pedigree, and provide some form for this group, starting with those two, I think he's 100%. Sacramento can get back into the playoff hunt. Thanks for taking the call.
Andre, thank you.
We never said they weren't good.
Yeah.
But they're not top five in my eyes.
Yeah, and the
they're not even top five.
Three-level scoring on De'Aaron Fox is a bit of a stretch. I mean, he's a decent three-point shooter. He can get to the rim. Sabonis is a very limited player, though. Like, yeah, he's a nice passer. He's a guy that can score in the post. He's gotten better as a three-point shooter, not that good. But pick and roll?
But he doesn't.
You understand, it's more pick and pop than it is roll.
Because the big body that can set a screen, doesn't jump off the screen.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
Same thing with his father.
He didn't have to, though. I mean, he was so big. He just ran circles around him. He played in different eras. See, I think Sabonis would be a bigger star in a previous era. He's such a physical, guy, but one of the issues I think Rick Carlisle had with him was, he got rebounds, but they weren't like critical rebounds. Like there was a lot of things about his game. And then defensively, how about this? In pick and roll, horrific. Right? That's the best way I can describe it. So maybe you feel like you can run a lot of pick and roll with him, but if you have him play pick and roll
he's
defense,
getting highlighted.
Oh my God. Right. Red dot.
Hey.
Red dot, is that?
Bring your guy
up. Harry, if you saw him in front of you,
oh my goodness,
you'd be yelling at Matty Ice. Here, bring the ball here.
I need it.
Yeah. Like
I
that,
need it.
That's been always the issue there. So
help me make this money. I need it.
So that is, and Mike Brown is all about defense.
Yep.
And they've got to figure that part of it out too, because how do you hide him defensively? Because that's a huge issue for him. And in the West, with all that talent, Ooh, it's going to be rough. More of your calls coming up.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Harry Douglas in with us. ESPN Radio, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. The road to the rematch is on. Bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN Plus. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. Let's see, Harry. So you played in the league 10 years?
10.
All right. And you're a wide receiver.
Bada boom, bada boom.
Mm. You brought that. So when you saw Gronk announce his retirement a second time, and then Drew Rosenhaus tells Adam Schefter, well, you know, I could see him coming back in the middle of the season. So not necessarily completely retired. What do you believe? Do you believe, no, this time he means it, he's done? Or do you believe we're going to see him? If Tom calls, we're going to see him in Tampa by December.
I think there's always a window of opportunity when it comes to Gronk.
Why?
Because he's
why doesn't he mean it now?
I mean, what do we even take seriously that comes out of Gronk's mouth? That's what I'm saying. Like, when can you just say, hey, Gronk, we take you serious? Has there been anything we can say, hey, Gronk, we take you serious?
Well, the first time he retired, he was like talking about how what he's put his body through and all this stuff. Like, he talked about how I just can't do it anymore. But then Tom Brady calls him and he shows up.
What Tom Brady do?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Allen, you know you're my boy, man. I know we're going to say that. We said this is going to be the last time, but I need you one more time. You can leave me in the dry?
No.
There you go.
So it's all about that.
Yeah.
It's not. But you were supposed to retire too, Harry.
But Gronk doesn't
You retired
do training
too.
Camp. You're right.
I didn't tell you to come back.
Listen, training camp is the worst damn thing about football. Gronk doesn't want to go through a training camp. That's literally the worst thing about football in my life.
I had a feeling that's where you were
going.
I had a feeling that's where you were going. So if this is just strictly about, I don't want to put my body through training camp, I don't want to put my body through September football in Tampa. I mean, it's not cold in Tampa in September. It's still humid.
And it's not even like a nice weather when you get to December either.
Oh, no. Yeah? Well,
like, it's the humidity, especially when it rains, it gets muggy.
Curious about that. I really am. Like, it's just, to me, when is it enough? How old is he? Is he 33, 34?
The man has four Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Enough should be enough by
now. Is he the best tight end in the history of the sport?
That's a tough one to me because Why? I played with Tony Gonzalez.
Yes, you did.
My locker was right beside him. But Gronk is better than Tony Gonzalez when it comes to blocking. And I have no problem saying
that. But isn't that a big part of this?
It is.
Because there were a lot of tight ends that were great receivers, but they never were asked to block because it wasn't what they were about. Gronk did it all.
And the offense that we were in, we were a run-first offense. A lot of people forget about that because we had Roddy White, Julio, Tony Gonzalez, myself. They thought we were a pass-first team. No, we were a run-first team because we had Michael Turner.
Yeah.
And we went 12 personnel, 21 personnel a lot. That's one back, two tight ends, two receivers, or two running backs, one tight end, two receivers. We did that a lot. So is Gronk the route runner that Tony Gonzalez was? No. You could literally put the football anywhere near Tony Gonzalez, he's going to catch it. Is Gronk an overall better tight end than Tony Gonzalez was? Yes. Tony Gonzalez has him on the longevity as well because he played, what, 17 years?
Yeah.
In the National Football League.
Yeah, Gronk got hurt a lot,
too. He only missed two games in 17 years.
You think about the last Super Bowl they lost to the Giants, right? His availability there. Yep. Like, I think there were a lot of those issues with him, and he's gotten beaten up, but mainly because of that's how he played, all-out kind of player. That's why Brady loves him.
But I'll tell you this, though.
But you still think he would come back? No, you still think, like, it just would be the call, and he just can't?
I'm still stuck on the
say no.
this best tight end thing.
Oh, because all right. I'm sorry. I thought we were moving on.
I watched First Take this morning, and
yeah,
I think one of the questions were how would Tom Brady would have fared without Gronk. That was the wrong question in my eyes.
How would Gronk would have fared without Tom Brady?
Because Tony Gonzalez didn't have a Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
That's another reason why Gronk has four Super Bowls.
It is. You know what? That is the right question. It's flipped the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because Brady always had tight ends. They always tried to do the two tight end thing, right?
I'm gonna stop you really quick.
Go ahead.
And not to bring his name up, but Aaron Hernandez.
No, I know. You can.
He was a guy when Gronk had 900,000 yards. He had 800, 900.
Yeah.
When Gronk had 500, Aaron Hernandez had 500.
Oh, of course.
You see what I'm saying?
He was a bad guy, but he was a good tight end. Yeah, a good tight end, though.
Exactly.
Like, pretty clear.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's more or less it was the offense and how it was able to get the most out of the tight end, especially
correct.
Gronk, and to Gronk's benefit, it fit him. Correct. But it was Brady that was using him and found ways to use him, and that's when it became the security blanket. And that's when you wonder, if things aren't going well in Tampa, does he call him again? Or does Tom just say, he's staying retired?
He's calling him.
And Tua sucks, so I'm going to Miami.
He's calling him. He's calling him.
That's you think so?
Hell
for sure.
Yes.
If things aren't going well. They have Cameron Brate. They don't have anybody else
things
now.
Things go rogue. He's calling him.
Oof. Wonder what that call would be like. He'd love to get that
please,
call
Grunk,
on social media.
Bart and Han.